More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, guilt aplenty galore. We're struggling with beating up on yourself. We want to help you find healing, forgiveness, and peace. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I am Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, guilt aplenty, guilt galore. We're handing it out.
Oh,
special
heavens.
Sale on guilt today.
Sorry, I'm not even getting a line for that one, and I'm sitting next to you.
No,
nobody wants that.
No.
Although we get ourselves into it enough, don't we?
We do. We are helping you if you are struggling with beating up on yourself or care about someone who just can't stop beating up on themselves. If you tend to ruminate about past mistakes, sins, or offenses, or have a hard time forgiving yourself or accepting God's forgiveness, if there are people in your life who are good at making you feel guilty, even when you're not sure you should, or as I said, if there is someone you care about who just can't stop picking on themselves for past mistakes and you're not sure how to support them, we are here today to help you manage guilt gracefully. The number to call is 877-573-7825. Those of you who are tuning in this morning on Morning Glory might be wondering what's going on, because you heard me talking a bit about this on the show as I was filling in for one of the co-hosts who wasn't there. I think it was Monsignor Pope I was filling in for. And we were talking a bit about this on the program this morning, but we're going to unpack it further here and take your calls about those struggles with guilt and how can we respond in a way that allows us to accept the responsibility for the things that we've done, to cooperate with God's grace to make those things better, but not dwell in our brokenness and not dwell on those mistakes and not just be consumed by, oh, I'm so wrong, let me sit here in my wrongness and be wrong now. So if you're in that place or care about somebody who is, let's talk about how to let that go, to experience God's grace, healing, transformation, and move forward in your life. 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, this knowing somebody who is a very important thing, because often we get dragged in to people's stuff, and they do have a tendency to sit in their guilt and ruminate about it and sort of mentally and emotionally flog themselves, and they do it to you, like do it like you need to be their audience. For example, one of our daughters had this situation with a friend just last year, and we're talking like 6th, 7th, 8th grade age, where she had a friend who just, if she breathed in the wrong direction and somebody noticed her, she was like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I just feel bad about that. And I'm not exaggerating. Like, everything that came out of her mouth was this tearing down of herself, this apologetic nature, to the point where the kid was working herself in to such a depression that it was getting scary. And, you know, of course, it's when she does this, when she was expressing herself in this way, it was to other 12-year-old girls who had no way to help her. And so, of course, there were a lot of conversations about what do I do when she does this? And I try to tell her all these great things about herself, and then she doesn't accept it. And we can often get very nervous about somebody always being in that place of feeling guilty, feeling bad about even existing, and not really know what we can do for them or to help them get out of that situation. If you have somebody in your life who's doing that and you're just at ends, not knowing how do I make a difference? Should I acknowledge this? Shouldn't I acknowledge this? Should I call them out? Should I encourage them in who they really are? It seems to sometimes make things worse. We're here for that situation. If you're doing it to yourself, we're definitely here to help you take those next steps towards wholeness and healing. Because as you pointed out this morning on Morning Glory, Greg, for those who were not up early enough to join you guys for that show or didn't hear it, this kind of guilt that you perpetuate and flog yourself in, as opposed to a holy guilt, and we'll tease that out in a minute for all of our listeners, is, I really believe with all my heart, an act of Satan. Just saying, just sit there in your wrongness and be wrong. Don't accept God's grace. Don't accept his love. By all means, don't change anything. And yet we burn up so much energy with this flogging ourselves kind of guilt that moves us to nothing, but a darker and darker abyss, that it's really like we think we must be acting in a holy way because we feel guilty, right? And we're making sure we feel guilty 24/7.
And it's that unhealthy understanding of guilt that caused the kind of secular cultural reaction against guilt at all. What you're really talking about there is not guilt at all. It's what the church calls scrupulosity.
Mm-hmm.
And scrupulosity comes in different forms. There's the milder form of scrupulosity, which is just that, just sitting around and wallowing in the things that you've done wrong and the offenses and not doing
anything
about it.
Which is destructive enough as it is.
And then, of course, there are more serious types of scrupulosity that are more like obsessive compulsive disorder, where the person kind of has to obsessively go back to confessions and confess the same sins over and over again, or they're afraid that maybe they haven't prayed properly, so they keep saying the same prayers over and over again. So there's a whole continuum.
And that has
there.
A religious nature to it, but it can even have a secular nature, as this one young woman that our daughter knew, who just was living in a place of perpetually feeling guilty for doing anything. Everything she said, she thought was the wrong thing. Everything she did, she thought was the wrong thing. She was constantly apologizing to her friends in a way that was truly making her emotionally ill. And I really want to, for our listeners who are maybe getting a little annoyed to hear that any kind of guilt is not holy guilt, because there's not enough guilt in our world right now.
And that's true. People
and that is true.
People don't feel remorseful enough about the things that they've done.
You know, we are not saying that at all. What we're saying is, are you dealing with a guilt that leads you to a holier and better and healthier life and relationships with God, yourself, and others? Or are you just sitting in a pit and it's not making the world a better place? It's not making you a better place. Let's look at the two biggies side by side on I'm talking about people first, and then we can talk about, you know, really defining what these are. Let's look at Judas and let's look at Peter. Okay? And if you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Now, Judas felt guilt. And he had the unholy guilt of just ruminating in it, feeling rotten about it, not turning to Christ in remorse and repentance, going off and hanging himself on a tree. End of story. End of possible grace. Done. Then you have Peter, who also betrayed Christ, not once but three times. And he went to Christ, and he was allowed by Christ three times to say, "Yes, I love you, Lord," and three times Jesus told him what to do to move on to health and holiness. Feed my sheep, love my sheep, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Over and over, Jesus said, "Okay, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Do this." And that's what really holy guilt is about.
Yeah.
It brings us to a place where we say, "Lord, I love you. I love you so much. I'm sorry I offended you." And then you listen to the Holy Spirit to find out how to make amends with Christ and others. And
holy guilt isn't God's condemnation. It's God's invitation to allow him to heal you. That's actually our tip of the day that you can find on our Facebook page at Facebook. Just look for More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. But let's unpack that a little bit more from the perspective of the theology of the body, which reminds us that in all things, great and small, God is always calling us into deeper union with Him. And rather than being something to avoid altogether, healthy guilt is God's way of letting us know that we've done something to remove ourselves from His grace. That's a really important thing, to know when I've stepped away from God's grace. Guilt is meant to be an early warning signal that alerts us to a problem, and more importantly, points us back to practical ways we can restore our connection with God and heal our connection with others. But as with all of our feelings, Satan sometimes twists healthy guilt into something else. Right? If our experience of guilt doesn't point us to a clear way back to healing the injury we've caused or restoring communion with God or other people, that's not guilt. As I've mentioned already, that's scruples. And scruples isn't just the fear that I haven't confessed my sins properly. It's the unhealthy, neurotic sense of guilt that makes it hard for me to forgive myself, to let go of mistakes that I have actually healed, or, most importantly, accept the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of God and others. Guilt, like all of our emotions, can be a gift. In fact, God gave us all of our feelings with the intention of working for our good. But the only way our feelings, including guilt, can do what God made them to do is if we bring those feelings back to God and say, Lord, help me to respond to this feeling in a way that glorifies you. And so when we're feeling guilty, if we want to have a healthy relationship with that, it means accepting that responsibility and saying to God, now help me heal this injury that I've caused. Help me to right the wrong. Help me to deal properly with the offense that I've caused so that I can restore my relationship with you and others. And then move on from it. That is the
entire
point.
Take those steps. That's the moving on, is taking those steps and really accepting the infusion of the Holy Spirit that comes with that. And not, I think a lot of people are afraid if they take those steps, they're going to feel a sense of pride if they overcome their guilt. I promise you, if you do it in prayer, you won't. What you're going to feel is a sense of profound knowledge of the mercy of God,
gratitude.
Of humility, of gratitude, of being so much more in love with God than you ever were before. It's a profound spiritual experience when we allow ourselves to make amends with Christ.
Amen.
And move on with His plan.
Amen. So do you tend to ruminate about past mistakes, sins, or offenses, big or small? You know, there might be certain faux pas even that keep coming up for you over and over again. You think, oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, what's wrong with me? Do you have a hard time forgiving yourself or even accepting God's forgiveness? Or are there people in your life who are good at making you feel guilty even when you aren't sure you should? Or for that matter, do you have somebody that does struggle with this issue of beating up on themselves, and you're not sure how to support them, whether that's a kid or a spouse or a friend? We are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's say our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you, for you are all merciful. You separate us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. You do not condemn us, but come to bring healing and grace and transformation. Help us to face what we have done responsibly, to take ownership of the injury we have caused to you and to others, but to do it in a way that draws us closer to you, that opens our hearts to your healing grace, and challenges us to make right the things that we have done wrong, and to rejoice in your mercy, to rejoice in all the good that you can do, even in our brokenness, and to celebrate your love in our lives. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, guilt aplenty, guilt galore. We're trying to get rid of some of that. So if you are struggling with beating up on yourself or care about somebody who does, let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. We want to help you find healing, forgiveness, and peace.
Let's talk now with Madeline, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hey there, Madeline. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hey, well, I have a daughter who sounds exactly like the young girl of which you spoke. She sent her to, she's 20 now. She has been very scrupulous to the point of where I had to take her to, and try to take her to priest after priest, and sometimes she would, it doesn't do any good. And then went to psychiatrist, and then she ended up doing some, spending some time in its facility. She's on all sorts of psychotropic medications, and but she still, she really maintains that she knows she's okay. Like, she's not okay, but she's still struggling with the thought that she's so bad, and it's like almost like a depression. Nevertheless, we also went to an endocrinologist. They found she has some physiological dysfunction, so took some medication, and that helped to some degree. But now, with the blood test just come back, everything is normal, but she's still acting. I mean, the blood levels of hormones should be where they are. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, last night it was, you know, it's a nightmare. And
is she getting,
like,
any kind of therapy in addition to the medication?
Yeah, we went to a Catholic therapist in this area, and she went willingly. But I said again, do you want to go? And she said no, because she told me I'm scrupulous. And it's not that.
Well,
that's what it is.
Can I ask you why? I mean, when you say, does she want to go? Like, you asked her, does she want to go? What? Why would you ask her that? She needs to
because
go, right?
She needs to go. She needs therapy. She needs to work through these thoughts. You know, she doesn't want to hear that she's scrupulous, but it's what it is.
Yeah, of course it
is. And it has an OCD component to it.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Well, and that's not all. I mean, it is physiological, but it's not entirely physiological. So let me kind of take some of this apart. Your instincts are correct, and I want to applaud you for those instincts, and I want to applaud you for supporting your daughter through all of this, and I want to challenge you a little bit to be even more confident in following those instincts, okay? Because you're right, your daughter does need therapy, and she's not going to want to go, because, heck, we don't want to ask for directions when we're lost, much less go to therapy.
Yeah, I mean, think about all that. I don't want to pay my bills, I don't want to go to the dentist, I don't want to, like, nobody wants to do stuff, but we know we have to.
Yeah, so as her mom, since she's still, I mean, she's 20, she's a young adult, but, you know, clearly she's still dependent on you. And so I'd really insist that it's not an option for her to say, you know, she can't go. It's fine. She doesn't want to go. But that's beside the point. She needs to go. Now here's the thing. Okay. When you're, the kind of scrupulosity you're talking about is definitely, physical in part. And there's actually a great book by Jeffrey Schwartz called Brainlock, which talks about obsessive compulsive disorder and offers some really good ideas for how to deal with it. So I encourage you to pick up the book, Brainlock. So what happens, though, okay, there's a physiological piece of this, and then there's a psychological piece of this. And she's getting treatment for the physiological piece, but there's only so much you can do with that. All right. So here's what happens. There's this part of the brain, it's called the right caudate nucleus, probably more than you need to know, but it's this part of the brain that causes the sinking feeling in your gut when something is amiss. It's just this, it's this part of your emotional brain that causes you to feel, oh, something's wrong, okay? But that part of your brain, it's the emotional part of your brain, so it's too dumb to be able to say what actually is wrong. It just says, I think something's wrong, and it gives you that sinking feeling. What happens with OCD is that it's sort of like that part of your brain gets a cramp, like almost a pinched nerve. It just spontaneously sends this signal that, oh, something's wrong. So then what happens is that emotional brain sends that signal up to your intellectual brain and says something's wrong. And then the intellectual brain looks around and says, yeah, but I'm not seeing anything wrong. Okay, and then the emotional brain says, but there is something wrong. So the intellectual brain looks around and says, yeah, no, nothing, everything's good. Then the emotional brain, and they fight back and forth with each other in a sense. Okay, so then eventually, sort of like a parent who is dealing with a kid that is just obnoxious, so you give that kid something mindless to do to get him out of your hair, the higher brain, the intellectual brain, finally says to the emotional brain, all right, fine, you know what it is? It's you didn't wash your hands enough. Go do that again. You know what it really is? It's you need to go to confession one more time. You need to say that Our Father 7,000 times. You know, whatever it is, it makes up a ritual to try to resolve the emotional tension that's created by the limbic system. And it's all about that story that you're telling yourself. So what's happening here is your daughter is getting medication that is helping to tone down the brain cramp that she's getting in the right caudate nucleus and that whole kind of brain lock circuit. But she's not getting the help that she needs to reinterpret what that feeling actually means. And when you're working with somebody in cognitive therapy, through the work that we do, for example, the Pastoral Solutions, one of the things we do is help people physically distinguish the difference between the feeling of actual guilt versus the feeling of scruples. They actually feel differently in your body. And we would help somebody learn that and also teach them cognitive tools to begin to change that story that she's telling in her head about what this means. Now, she doesn't want to accept that it's scruples, but you have that perspective that allows her, that allows you to recognize that there's more going on here than just a physical problem, and she needs to be in therapy. So I'm going to just encourage you to go with that instinct and get her there no matter what. If your daughter had cancer, you wouldn't say, do you want to go to the oncologist, honey? You'd say, we're going. And it's the same thing with this. This is going to destroy her life. But it doesn't have to, because it's very treatable. It's very responsive to cognitive therapy. Get her some good counseling, and I guarantee you that this will improve. She may deal with some of this for the rest of her life to some degree, but she can learn a lot of strategies to be able to live a full, functional life. If we can do more to support you in this, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our services as well. We've got to go to break. When we come back, we're talking with Dr. Joseph White. He is the author of the Catholic Parent Toolbox and hosted SharingCatholicFaith.com. He's going to be talking with us about how can we help our children develop a healthy relationship with their mistakes and guilt in general. 877-573-7825. We'll be back after this.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. I want to announce that Steve Ray and I will be going on pilgrimage to the great land of Poland, August 21st to August 30th.
We're going to follow John Paul II, Maria Faustina and the Divine Mercy, and Maximilian Kolbe. We're even going to visit Auschwitz and see the place where Maximilian Kolbe gave his life in the cell there.
People can get more information at AveMariaRadio.net. And where else, Steve?
CatholicConvert.com. Click on the big pilgrimage banner or call 866-468-1420.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Now, on the Ave Maria Radio app, the prayer section, where you can listen to the Holy Rosary. All four mysteries are voiced by Christ as the Answer and Father Knows Best host, Father John Ricardo. Are you struggling to remember specific prayers for pre- and post-confession, reciting the Stations of the Cross, or prayers during Eucharistic Adoration? It's all there, word for word, and within a few clicks under the prayer section on the Ave Maria Radio app. Download it on your smart device today.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show today is titled Guilt Aplenty, Guilt Galore. If you are struggling with beating up on yourself or care about somebody who is, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Dr. Joseph White. He's a family psychologist, master catechist, catechetical consultant for Our Sunday Visitor Publications, and the author of Catholic Parent Toolbox. Dr. White, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
Well, see, we want to talk about how can we help our kids have a better relationship with their own mistakes and with the guilt that they might feel when they mess things up. Let's start there. What can parents do to help their kids manage guilt more effectively?
Well, you know, I think often we say we don't want kids to feel guilty, but what we really mean is we don't want them to feel shame. We don't want them to carry around this sense that they're not good enough and never will be. A lot of times when we feel guilty, as you've mentioned, it's actually a gift from God to help us. It's our conscience at work, you know, help us realize, hey, there's something here that we need to correct. And so it's important to let kids know God doesn't want us to go around just being sad about it. He wants us to be better, the people that he made us to be. And this can be a prompt for us to do better.
I think that's an incredibly important point and something that we were saying earlier, that healthy guilt isn't God's condemnation. It's God's invitation to healing and transformation.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things I think we can do is help kids find a positive way to make some reparation for the damage done. So, for example, if they've been fighting with a brother or sister, to have them do something kind and unexpected for their brother or sister to help make that right. And, of course, always, you know, talking about the sacrament of reconciliation and the tangible experience of God's forgiveness that we find there as well, in the way that through his grace in the sacrament, he helps us to do better.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the sacrament of reconciliation. Let me just ask you this about it, because a lot of parents, I think a lot of adults in general, have a complicated relationship with that sacrament. On the one hand, intellectually, we know that it's a good thing to do. On the other hand, emotionally, it feels bad somehow. So we end up modeling, I think, an unhealthy relationship with that sacrament to our kids. What would you say to parents who are in that situation, who are saying, yeah, all right, you know, I should take my kid to confession more, but how do I do that in a way that actually feels like an experience of God's love, not just,
Yeah, I think one of the things we can do is to tell kids that the sacrament helps us remember and helps us actually experience that God loves us no matter what. So, you know, we don't have to wonder if God forgave us. We actually experience that in the sacrament.
And really dwelling on that piece of it, the fact that God does forgive us through that. And that's a beautiful thing. Joseph, thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about your good work, they can go to sharingcatholicfaith.com, sharingcatholicfaith.com. We'll be taking your questions about guilt when More to Life continues after the break at 877-573-7825. Stick around.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Not everyone who's attracted to the Lord and to a life of service is necessarily meant to be a priest. So there's all kinds of forms. I mean, from, let's say, the Brotherhood, if you want to stay within a formal religious context, but then all kinds of ministries within a parish, all kinds of lay ministries that you can do. So not everyone's called to the priesthood. A priest is someone who is dedicated, devoted to ongoing study and ongoing prayer, to be a spiritual father. As Pope Benedict said, one of his wisest remarks, he said, people want many things from a priest, but what they want above all is someone who's a master of the spiritual life. Hey, I'm great at this ministry, and hey, I'm great at organizing this meeting, and hey, I'm great. Fine, but ultimately what the people want is you're a master of the spiritual life. You got to be, therefore, trained in prayer and theology and spirituality and so on.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What qualifies as a valid marriage in the eyes of the Catholic Church? The Catechism tells us there are certain requirements that must be present or the marriage is not a true sacrament. The requirements are as follows. The marriage must be between a baptized man and a baptized woman who are free to contract marriage and who freely express their consent. The Catechism defines freedom to contract as not being under constraint and not impeded by any natural or ecclesiastical law. The exchange of consent between the spouses is considered by the Church to be the most indispensable element of a valid marriage. According to the Catechism, the consent must be an act of the will of each party, free of coercion or grave external fear. If this freedom is lacking, the marriage is not valid. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught. St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best, gently correct the wrongdoing, and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are talking with you today about guilt and how we can have a healthy relationship with our mistakes. Because let's face it, you know, we all mess up, we all sin, we all hurt people. We don't ever mean to, usually, but, you know, we feel bad about it afterward, and we should. You know, when we do something
that's
wrong, it's a good thing to feel bad about that. But once we experience that conviction from the Holy Spirit, we should also be open to God saying, and here's what I want you to do about it. So then we can go do that thing and stop feeling guilty. What we're really talking about is the tendency to get stuck in that feeling of, oh, I'm so wrong. Let me just sit here in my wrongness and be wrong now. And even after we've either done things to correct the problem, or perhaps don't do things to correct the problem, choosing instead to sit and wallow, if you find yourself in that position, or if you care about somebody who does have a hard time beating up on themselves, and you're not sure how to support them, let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Sorry, darling.
It's okay. It's much more important to give out the number. And I have to say that some of us, yes, are dealing with the kinds of things that our last caller was dealing with, that we're talking about, where we truly are consistently beating ourselves up. Others of us are really just saying, I know I did something wrong. I know I do a lot of things wrong. I feel guilty. But I am not going to turn to God until I don't feel guilty anymore. Because somehow what I did or the guilt I feel means that God won't love me, that God will reject me. That's not who God is.
No.
I mean, God's all about coming and getting you and loving you and taking you from where you are to the healing that he wants to give you. Oh. Not about saying, don't look at me until you get your stuff together. We can't. Not one of us on the planet can get ourselves together without the grace and love of God. We can't do it. We don't have the possibility of doing it. We are not God. Only God can bring that healing into our lives. We need to cooperate with that healing. We need to ask for it. We need to surrender to it. But we can't do it by ourselves. So if you're feeling like, I know I need to deal with all this, but I can't deal with all this because God's going to reject me. God's not going to reject you. He is going to be thrilled with you, that you are there, that you want to be closer to him, and he wants to be closer to you.
Just like the father in the story of the prodigal son, who ran to meet his repentant son on the road. Didn't even make him walk the rest of the way.
What blows my mind about that is didn't even ask if he was sorry. Just went and was like, you're home, I love it, let's party. You know, it was not, okay, so you're home. So, like, have you learned from your lesson? Like, let's talk, let's analyze this to see if I'll let you in my door. He didn't do that. It was an abandonment of just everything to love, and then they worked the rest out later. You know, and that's what God wants to do for all of us. But we can't wallow in our guilt. We can't not feel our guilt, because feeling it is part of getting healed. You know, I don't go to the doctor to fix something unless there's a pain that lets me know that it needs to be fixed, right? That guilt lets us know that stuff needs to be fixed, and God wants to heal that for you today. And if you're struggling with that, or someone you know is struggling with that, we are here to help y'all out today at 877-573-7825.
Again, the number 877-573-7825. Right now we're talking with Ashton, who's listening in Lafayette, Louisiana, on Christ the King Radio. Hey, Ashton, how are things in Arcadiana these days?
Good morning. Oh, they're wonderful. We have a little cool front coming through.
Oh,
today,
yay so. For you.
Very nice. That's unusual for your part of the world. So what can we do for you today?
Well, you know, I was listening to your conversation, and thank you for doing this because it's so needed. But I was thinking of a different dimension. I mean, you're talking about, you know, therapy. We're talking about medication, all the things that, you know, God's given us that we need to do. And some of the other dimensions, you know, the sacraments, talked about that, healing sacraments of confession, the Eucharist. But another dimension is God has given us people, priests, sisters, whatever, that have a gift of healing. And so when we ask, when we seek, when we knock, we're locally around here within 20 miles or so is a priest named Father Manny Fernandez, Emmanuel Fernandez. He's a Filipino priest who has a gift of healing. And I've gone to him, and I've brought people to him that have been healed. And so, you know, and he says, you have to keep coming back. Sometimes God will heal you on the spot, but most of the time, you have to keep coming back. You have to keep petitioning. You have to keep asking. And so, I wanted to just share that to the general public, that just another opportunity in our Catholic faith to use all the things that are available to us.
I couldn't agree more that we really have to use everything that's available to us. And honestly, one of the things that we have to remember is if we are struggling with a level of guilt like Greg's talking about here with scrupulosity, which is, you know, moving into the idea of spiritual and mental illness in terms of a struggle for us, a consistent struggle, the sacrament of the sick, the sacrament of healing, is something that we can take advantage of. So many of us as Catholics think that's something you get anointed when you're getting ready to die. Anointing of the sick. Thank you. And when you're on your deathbed, that's when you do it. No. If you are struggling with an illness, you can have anointing of the sick. So if you have taken advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation, and you're still struggling with this, and you're walking all of the steps that it takes in terms of getting, emotional care, physical care, all of those things. If you go to your parish priest, whether or not this person says, I have this particular, you know, gift of the Holy Spirit, they do, because the anointing of the sick is there for anyone who's struggling with a physical or mental illness that they want to be, you know, delivered
of. And of course, beyond that, there are certain people who have received that supernatural gift of healing, and that's a beautiful thing as well. And if you know somebody who is spiritually mature and who has that gift and, I want to qualify this. Okay, I'm just going to put out this qualifier here, because there are people who mean well, who will say, "Oh, I have the gift of healing," and they do this, but they don't do it in with proper supervision, with proper kind of collaboration, if you will, with the church. And those folks, you want to
true and proper understanding.
Yeah.
Of the church and her authority.
Someone like the priest that Ashton is talking about, you know, he's under the supervision of his bishop. He has a community that he's responsible to. That's a good person. That's a good kind of person to turn to, if that person claims to have these gifts of supernatural healing. But when a thoughtful consumer of spiritual
healing. And certainly, and God bless her, you know, Jeanette does a wonderful job on Women of Grace of keeping us abreast of some of the ways that this can be twisted.
Well,
we often want to be cautious. So really, you're absolutely right, Greg, to make sure we point out to all of our listeners, make sure they're under proper authority.
Yeah, and having grown up in the charismatic renewal, both of us did, you know, we've seen lots of wonderful examples of people who do have truly the gift of healing. And if you have somebody in your area that can do that for you, that's a wonderful resource to turn to. But those folks are usually, if they're doing it responsibly, they have some kind of supervision. They're in some kind of spiritual community that provides some checks and balances there. So make sure you're working with good people. But Ashton's absolutely right.
No one ever wants to be taken off course by trying to pursue something good. So, but the point truly is the church does have a huge component of being able to help us with these struggles when we avail ourselves of them. It is always very, very helpful to do so.
We're talking about guilt today on More to Life. Let's talk about those times when we do have a difficult time accepting God's forgiveness, or we tend to beat up on ourselves for past mistakes. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Deborah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Hey, Deborah. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. What can we do for you today?
My daughter, she is about 10 years old, and she really struggles. My kids go to Catholic school here in the area, and she goes to confession, but it seems like she really struggles with any guilt that she has, even after confession or even after I talk through with things with her that have happened. If somebody says something that's air quotes inappropriate or something that she feels is wrong or she doesn't like to talk about, or if it continues to get talked about, you know, at school or with the kids and stuff, and she just can't get past it. She cries and she gets upset, and she even has said, you know, she feels guilty and she feels bad because it comes up in her head over and over again, and she doesn't want to feel that way, and she doesn't want to hear this stuff. And I just want to know what I can do for her to beyond this, like beyond saying it's going to be okay and God forgives you. Is there something more that I can be doing for her?
Yeah. So before I get to that, though, let me just say, how long has this been going on?
For it's been 6 months. And she thinks back to stuff. I mean, she'll bring up stuff. Mom, 2 years ago when I was, you know, just, yeah. I can't even think of it.
Has that always been the case, or just in the last couple of months?
Just in the last few months. I mean, this school year, basically, it's starting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And anything, you know, any big changes in her life or school or anything like that that we should know about?
Nothing. I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of the friendship struggles and that kind of, with the girls and the they're 10, so they're starting to break off into the little groups and stuff. And so that kind of thing. She just has that struggle.
Okay. The only reason I ask that is because what you're describing here is often the sign of a kid feeling insecure for some reason. It doesn't necessarily even have to be anything big. You know, it's just they're feeling insecure already, so their baseline emotional temperature is already kind of elevated, and then they experience either, you know, their own guilt or, as you point out, you know, when somebody else makes a mistake, and they feel upset about that, and that upset just sort of tips them over the edge into these kinds of things. So I'm going to give you a frontline strategy for this to try to evaluate if there's a bigger problem going on here or if this is something you guys can just take care of yourselves. What you're describing is a kid who's having a hard time re-regulating after becoming dysregulated. What I mean by that is, what I was just saying, that for whatever reason, certain things are causing her emotional temperature to spike. And when she gets into that place, she just starts reacting emotionally to stuff. And she has a hard time getting herself back under control. Talking to a kid who is in that state of mind tends not to do much good. So, you know, telling her that she doesn't have to feel guilty about it or that God forgives her. I mean, there's a time for saying those things, but initially it's going to bounce off of her. So the best thing to do is to recognize that she's having a hard time getting her body back under control and her brain back under control. So what you want to do is bring her in, is say, just come here, honey. I want to just hold you for a minute. And just let me hold you and just breathe with me and let's just try to relax together. Okay? And just help her get her body under control. Because when you're holding somebody close, it's really kind of a neat kind of a thing about relational biology. Your heart rate starts to reset her heart rate, and your respiration starts to change how deeply she's breathing, and your body temperature helps to trigger her body temperature in a healthier way, and your body speaks to her body. It's kind of a theology of the body there, where, you know, God made us to be able to influence each other, even on that basic level. So bringing her in, first of all, just saying, honey, you're really upset right now, and I'm so sorry about that. Come here, let me give you a hug. Just let me hold you for a minute. Just hold her close to you. Wait for her to kind of do that kind of thing, right? She just exhales. You feel the physical tension coming out. And then just pray with her at that point and say, Lord, help my daughter to know how much you love her. help her to feel your love through me, and help her to feel your love through all the things that, all the ways you take care of her and all the blessings you've brought into her life. And then ask her, you know, to spend a moment with you just thanking God for the little things that, went well today, that, were little hugs from him. You know, interpret those little blessings as little hugs from God, and lead her in giving thanks to God in that time. The point is, all the talking in the world isn't going to convince her to feel better. She's going to require first that physical reorientation, and then that reminder that God is loving her all day long through all the little blessings that he brings into her life, and to just bring those to mind and dwell on them for a minute. Then if you need, third step, if you need to have any additional conversation about, you know, what she can do to correct an offense, or how she can, you know, whatever, the intellectual piece of it, you can do that afterward.
If you feel it, really feel that you need to, because what she might just need is that resetting, because she's at an emotionally high temperature and she's looking for a label to put on it. And so for her, guilt has become her go-to label for just feeling dysregulated and just feeling out of control of her life. So you may not have to address it, but as Greg was saying, don't address it until, because you were saying, you know, the words will bounce off of her. In many cases, especially with younger people, but it happens to all of us, if we start to address it with those, but you don't have to feel guilty about this, and you're really a good person, and not only does it bounce off of them, sometimes it penetrates and hooks in like fish hooks and crawls deeper, because they're saying, Mom doesn't get it, and she doesn't get how badly I feel, and if she doesn't get how badly I feel, maybe if I feel worse, then she'll finally get it. It's not conscious.
Yeah.
But it's what those alarm bells are doing. Mom's not hearing my fire alarm. I better ring it louder. But if we can help her reset that, if we can help her just breathe deeply, know she's loved, get in sync with you, then those alarm bells can die off. And sometimes they don't have to be addressed at all, but it will definitely help you sort out which ones do.
So start with those three steps we outlined for you, Deborah. If you find that after, say, 2 or 3 weeks of doing that consistently, she's still kind of in the same place with it, then it's time to seek some professional help, because you might be dealing with a little bit of OCD. And the good news about that is that with kids as young as she is, their brains are still developing. So with some basic cognitive therapy techniques, she can really overcome this and would not necessarily have to live with this at all for the rest of her life. So early intervention is really key, though. So do this for the next couple of weeks, these three steps we talked about. If she's still stuck in it, either give us a call back here, reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com, or find a good local resource to evaluate her for the possibility of OCD. Deborah, thanks so much for the call. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to talk with you about guilt today on More to Life. If you have a hard time forgiving yourself and letting go of guilt, or care about somebody who is in that place, give us a call. Let's work it out together at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. We are talking with you today about guilt and how to deal with it in a graceful way that allows you to experience not God's condemnation, but His transformation. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Martha, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma.
Hey, Martha, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
And I do enjoy your show. I learn so much from it. What I was wanting to say was I'd like to put in a little different twist on this. I was married for 25 years to a man who had OCD, and after about 11 years, he was diagnosed with hypoglycemia, a severe case of it, actually. And we noticed that he would go into his OCD, I won't call them rants, but, you know, he just would get into a circle, a loop.
Mm-hmm.
And when his blood sugar went low. And so my comment here is to say, okay, yes, I go with the Catholic counseling, go with all of these different things that we need to address, but also let's address the biochemical aspect of it, because maybe it's there and maybe we need to address that along with
Yeah, well, I don't think we didn't say that. In fact, all the callers that we had on this issue were already dealing with the biology as they were taking medication, or
absolutely,
they were on, doing supplements or those other things. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I have to say, we 100% agree and understand that. One of our children for years started to have really, you know, stress reactions for about a year or two. Two things that we didn't think she should be stressed out about wasn't making sense to us. We would work on calming her down and resetting her, and it would work to an extent. But she seemed to have... I'm losing my voice. This is great for the radio.
I can pick it up while you clear your throat.
Excuse me. No, I think I'm good.
Okay.
So, you know, we really saw that a lot of the techniques that she was trying to work through were working for a little while, not working right, and we really started praying over it. And something was telling me something was physically off with her. And sure enough, through a series of events, we found out that she suffers from extreme low blood pressure, like the kind of low blood pressure that you hear on a crash cart, on like when you're watching a medical show on TV, that the doctors had never picked up on because she also had white coat syndrome. So when she'd go to a doctor, her blood pressure would be elevated to normal. But when she was suffering from this severe low blood pressure, she would go into a panic reaction because her whole body thought she was dying. But we had no way of
it really
being
was
able
that
to tell
low.
That.
We're talking about in the 50s.
Yes,
you know,
like very, 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 very low, like close to blacking out low. And we took her to a cardiologist. She got put on a protocol for this. We have an at-home blood pressure machine, which is wonderful, so she can actually track, like, you know, what is her blood pressure when she's feeling good or not good. Point being, Martha, we agree 100%. This has to be. We always, because of the theology of our body, have to realize that we are a complex living organism. We have a spiritual component, a physical component, an emotional component, and we should work with God's grace on all of that to be as whole and holy as we can be.
What I would suggest to anybody, though, who's trying to wrestle with, you know, how do I start with this? It's always best to sort of start with the, I'm going to say, least offensive. And when I say offensive, I mean the least disruptive, the treatments that have the least number of side effects first, and then you go out from there. Right, because the whole you know first basic principle in medicine is do no harm. Right, so you want to try those treatments that have the best result and the fewest side effects first, and that's why we're saying things like seeking spiritual guidance, seeking cognitive behavior therapy, and then looking into those medical treatments because let's face it, all medications do have side effects and can be problematic in and of themselves. That's not to say that they shouldn't be used. It's that they should be approached in a responsible, intelligent way. I know a lot of people, because we're looking for a quick answer, we want to try to go to the pill, right? Some kind of pill.
Some medication.
And that can do something, but then whenever they don't get the results they're hoping for, then they feel hopeless and stuck. So it's not a question of not using those physical means of healing. It's a matter of approaching it in a stepwise manner so that you can get the healing that you're looking for in the healthiest way possible. But excellent point, Martha. Thanks so much for the call. That's all the time we've got for today's program. Thank you for being with us and sharing a little bit about your struggles with guilt. If you are looking for more healing and ways to experience God's love and forgiveness, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and check out the resources we've talked about on today's program, including our books, Broken Gods, Hope, Healing, and the Seven Longings of the Human Heart, and Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, as well as learning more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Give us a call at 877... Excuse me. God bless you. Have a great day.
To More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.